Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Sunday morning, October 23rd, 2016, at Fall Retreat for our youth from Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene that took place at Watermarks Camp in Scottsville, Virginia. And in Sunday morning service, Pastor Adrian Mills wrapped up our series on faith being greater than fear.
Man, thanks for worshiping. You know, I was thinking about it back there. I don't like rank things. I don't compare things. This has been like the best worship that I ever remember having at a fall retreat. I just feel, maybe it's just where I'm at in my heart, but I just appreciate these guys leading us in worship, and they sacrifice, some of them sacrifice their free time, stuff to be here. So they don't really do it for our applause, but I'd like to thank them one more time for leading us in worship this week. Hey, so we're going to wrap up our conversation about this idea of fear that can be covered by the blood of Jesus, and that we can choose faith over fear. And I love the shirts that you guys are wearing that you get to take home, and I pray you'll wear them. I pray that when you wear them, it will be a reminder to you, maybe a symbol for you, a stand like today. Don't wear it every day. That's a little creepy. But today, I'm choosing faith over fear. Today, I'm choosing that faith and trusting God is greater than what's the matter in my life. And I pray maybe some conversations would happen. I wore the shirt to Lowe's because the trailer broke on Friday and we had to fix it like 30 seconds before he got there. So I went to Lowe's and some person was like, "Hey, I like your shirt." I'm like, "Thanks." You know, like it's there. So I pray that it will be a conversation starter for you among your peers, an opportunity for you to take a stand. I just want to remind you what faith over fear is not, because we've been talking about it all weekend. What we're not talking about here is pretending everything is okay. And sometimes that's what we do on retreats, because we get away, which is good. We forget about problems back at home. We're with our friends. Sometimes it gets emotional, and that's okay. We have a lot of fun. And we make it about pretending like everything's okay. Like, da da da, things are good, I'm okay. That's not what this is about this weekend. So if at any point in this weekend you've gotten this idea of like, well, I just need to get over it and be okay, well, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what faith over fear means. It also does not mean the stereotype of being tough enough. Like, don't cry, don't show weakness. Your leg fell off and you're hemorrhaging blood everywhere. And I'm good. You know, it's not what faith over fear is like my life is falling apart, everything is not okay, but I'm good. Like, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking to be tough enough. We're not talking about the crushed it, backflip over a mountain. I'm good, man. Like, I got this, right? This is not a Mountain Dew commercial where you're jumping off a cliff. I've got faith over fear, That's not it. It's also not weighing the pros and cons. So some of you are very, deep thinkers, and I love that about you. But we're not talking about, I'm going to list all the positive things and all the negative things, and if faith weighs out over fear. In other words, if I can come up with enough reasons to have faith that overtake my fear, then I'm going to do that. But if the fear is so big that I can't, so we're not talking about that. That's not what faith over fear is about. And so today, as we prepare to leave, I have a story I want to share from the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. It's a story of a man named Elisha. And Elisha wasn't afraid. He chose faith over fear. But in this story, we see him help somebody that's probably a lot like you and me choose in that moment. And it really, for him, it comes down to a perspective. And I would say to you, and I don't want to belittle anything, any fear that you have. Some of you, it's real. I know in our small group last night, some of the guys, the things they shared, it was real. It's real stuff. And I'm not here to belittle that. I'm not here to say that that's not big. But I believe today, if we can leave this place with a proper perspective, then it will help us. It will transform the way that we view these things that pulled us back. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of the background of the story. Elisha was a prophet. He was a man of God in a time when that wasn't like a cool thing to do. There was no youth group. There was no, Bible study group. He was the man of God, and people kind of knew that about him. He got that kind of reputation. Some people liked that. Some people didn't. Remember, we talked about it. You will be judged. So some people judged him for that. But he had made his decision to live for the Lord. And so he represented kind of the nation of Israel, Israelite, and kind of stood for the Lord. But there's these other countries, these other nations that were warring against them, that wanted to defeat them. So there's the Amorites. So the king of Aram wants to defeat Israel. And so he decides, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sneak attack them. Like some of you did to me in paintball, or the leaders did to me in paintball last night. It wasn't really a sneak attack when I'm too large to fit behind the barrier and they're just hitting me on my love handles, got eaten alive. So, but he does much better stealth moves than that, right? Like, Aramites are like, okay, I got it, you know. We're going to go to their camp in the middle of the night. We're going to surprise attack and we're going to defeat them. So they would make their plan. They would get there in the middle of the night and they'd be gone. So then they say, hey, they're camping across the river there. We're going to travel for 2 days. When they're not expecting it, we're going to attack. They get there 2 days later, cross the river, they're gone. Literally, the king of Aram got furious because it's almost like they know that we're coming. It's almost like whatever move that we make, they know that it's coming. And some of his men get wise and say, I know why that is. They have Elisha. They have the man of God on their side. They have the guy that talks to God on their side. It's like cheating. This isn't fair. We can't defeat them. We need to eliminate Elisha. So that's what they decide to do. They say, forget the whole nation. We're going to find this guy, Elisha. We're going to kill him. And then we can defeat the whole army. So in the middle of the night, they find out where Elisha is camping. Kind of like your cabin there last night. And the entire army surrounds the house where he's staying. So imagine this morning, you wake up like me, stumble out of the cabin, freezing cold, can't see, frog in my throat. And you come outside and there is like chariots and horses and armies surrounding you. You know, right? This is the scene. This is what happens. And there's two people staying here. There's Elisha and then what the Bible calls Elisha's servant, the man that was tasked to help assist him. So I'm going to read this story, the rest of the story to you, and I want you to hear the words that Elisha speaks to his servant. Okay? It says, when the servant of the man of God, so when Elisha's servant got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the whole city. And he says what every single one of us would say in that situation. What would we say? Not a cuss word, right? What would we say? Right? I mean, it doesn't say that. It says a few more words than, This is what it says. Now you could choose to read that. Oh no, my lord. Like Shakespearean, like, oh my lord, come hitherus. We are. Or you could read it like, oh no, my lord. Like, this is bad. Like, I did a quick count and there's a million of them in one of me. Like, not great at math. But this is an oh-no thing, okay? Then he says the next thing we would say. The first thing is we would say, The next thing we would say is, what are we going to do? Like, what's the plan here? Elisha, you talk to God. You're the man. What in the world are we going to do here? What's your plan? Okay? Verse 16. This is what Elisha says to him. Do not be afraid. Okay? Fear not. Don't have fear. Great. That sounds like a strategy. Listen to what he says, though. Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than are those that are with them. Now, that is absolute rubbish, right? Quick math count. 1 to 1,000,000, right? No. There's not more of us than are more with him. But if you're focusing on a worldly perspective, if you're focusing on a human perspective, that's the perspective you get. There's two of us, there's 1,000,000 of them. And you know that if you have a human perspective, the things that we wrote on this wall are too big for us. Because you can't overcome these things on your own. You are outnumbered. On your own, you do not have enough strength to overcome it. And so if we are looking at these things from a human perspective, you know the right thing to say is, oh no, my Lord, what are we going to do? What am I going to do about that? But Elisha had a different perspective. And so he tells his servant, greater are those that are with us than those that are with them. What are you talking about? And then he prays one of the most beautiful prayers in Scripture. He says in verse 17 of 2 Kings 6, he said, Lord, open his eyes so that he can see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire. Now, next time I go into battle, and I can choose the cool little horses over here, I can choose the horses on fire. I'm picking the fire horses, man. That's what I'm going into battle with. Give me those guys, because that's who he sees. Literally, Elisha says, open his eyes so they can see. And he sees, but he's not seeing from a worldly perspective. He's seeing something bigger happening. He's seeing a world that we don't understand, a spiritual realm. And these are fiery horses, man. And they do some battle and they take care of business. We're not going to read all that part. But here's my perspective. You can read it. Some Bible, 2 Kings chapter 6. Here's my challenge for us today. This idea of not having fear is ridiculous from a human perspective. It's stupid. Like, of course you're afraid. Of course, listening to some of the things that you guys have shared, of course you're afraid. I understand that. I get that. And I think God understands it. But we have a choice today. We can choose to have an earthly perspective, a worldly perspective, and see our hurt and see our pain and see the army gathered around us and say, it's too much. I can't do this. Or we can change our perspective. And we can pray, Lord, open my eyes so that I see. Greater is the one with us. Greater is the one living in us than the one that's out there. Greater is the one in us than anything that we can write and stick to a board, than any fear that we can name. Why? Because we're not looking at these things from a human perspective. We understand that the God of the universe, the God that can do all things, like he raised Jesus from the dead, you think he can't handle your fear? Look, I'm not trying to make a light of it, but he conquered death. So like anything short of that, we're pretty good. And I know it's hard and I know it's painful, but if we could just change our focus and change our perspective and stop pretending like, oh, this is too hard. Oh, God can't do it. And understand that greater is the one in us than he that is against us. That's what Elisha says. Greater are those that are with us. There are more with us than those that are with them. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there are more with you than that the enemy has. It doesn't feel like that sometimes. We got to go to school this week. We're going to walk in there and it feels overwhelming. It feels like there's an army around us. It feels like we're the only one trying to live for God. It feels like we're the only one trying to pursue like purity or holiness or a life that pleases God. It feels like that. But I pray that you will open your eyes and see that those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Why? Because we have something on our side that they don't, and that's him. That's his power. Do you know the wonder? I've talked about this from time to time. Do you know the number one commandment that God gives throughout the Bible? It's not love. That's important. I like to love. I think that loving people is important. It's not about giving or money or anything like that. You know the number one commandment throughout the Old and the New Testament that we see God and then Jesus say, it's the commandment, don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. Not no fear. I talk about this sometimes. I was the dorky middle school boy that when I was a middle school boy, there were these shirts called No Fear shirts. And some of you have heard me talk about that before. And they were like so dorky. It was like a shirt that cost like $24 or something. And it literally said like, no fear. You know, and I wore it. I was like, I'm so cool. You know, and on the back would be these stupid slogans like 10,000 feet in the air. No fear. Like, I don't even know what that means. Like, I love seven-year-olds, but they could have written, you know, it could have been like the slogan of like, you know, jump in a tree, no fear. Like, I don't know, it's just stupid stuff. But everybody in middle school, I mean, you had to have one. Like, that was my back-to-school shirt that I wore on the first day of school. It was that important and cool. So you can understand how cool I was. Okay. So mine said, been there, done that, had the t-shirt, no fear. And I'm like a scrawny 90-pound middle school boy that's afraid of everything, probably, you know? So it's just like, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about this hyped up, like, let's go into battle, no fear, right? Like, Sam Burwell comes up that way, but the rest of us can't, right? Because he's like that. But the rest of us are like, that's not it. In fact, that's not what God's telling us to do. He's not telling us to live this reckless, silly, crazy. In fact, literally, if you look in Scripture, like God appears to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joshua. And this woman, this teenage girl, she was 16 years old. Her name was Mary. An angel shows up to her and says, oh, by the way, Mary, you're pregnant. Oh, that's weird because I won't get into those details. But like, I can't. That's not possible. That's not possible for me to be pregnant. The angel goes, no, you are. But Mary, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary. Throughout Scripture, time and time again, the Lord would appear to people and tell them, don't be afraid, fear not. But the problem is, if we're living by our perspective, like, why would Mary be afraid? She has to go into a society that would say, for a woman to do that outside of marriage, she should die. Like, she should be stoned to death. Like, she should be disowned from her family. Why wouldn't she be afraid? She would be terrified. But the angel says, Mary, don't be afraid. Well, it's about a different perspective than the world wants to give. In Isaiah 41, this is what it says. It says, do not fear, don't be afraid. Why? For I am with you. And that's the key. That's the key. Because if we don't have His presence with us, you should be afraid. You should be. If you don't have God's power in your life, and you're just trying to do things on your own, and you're trying to get through your struggles and your trials on your own, like, man, I'm afraid for you. Because on your own, it's just not enough. And some of you are really talented and strong and courageous, but it's just not enough. But if we understand every single time in Scripture that God says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Every time, you know why He says, don't be afraid? Because He says, I'm with you. Every time He gives that commandment, don't be afraid, He says, I'm with you. Don't be afraid, I'm with you. Don't be afraid, why? I'm with you. Jesus has already shed His blood for you, but my Spirit lives in you, the Holy Spirit. Literally, God gives us His Spirit if we ask Him to. God, give me your Spirit so that I can know greater are those that are with us. Greater are those on our side than those that are against us. But without that, without His presence, without His Spirit, all you're trying to do is tough it out and be big enough and tough enough and strong enough and fight through it. And some of you are really stubborn people. And you will try as hard as you can to make it on your own. And I'm just here to tell you, you're not strong enough on your own. You're not. I believe you and in you and I love you. But on your own, you're not strong enough. You need Him. You need His power in you. Because He says, don't be afraid. I am with you. I'm with you. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a minute today. And we'll fall asleep. We're almost done. But this might be the most important prayer we pray all weekend. Because this is kind of the beginning of the end for us, okay? Do you believe that God is with you today? Have you asked Him to be with you? Don't just show up and think, well, I'm at the retreat, I got the t-shirt. No, no, no. Have you stopped and said, God, I need you. I can't leave this place without you. You're not here at camp. You're with me. You live in me. So before I try to go home and re-enter the stuff, have you stopped to say, God, be with me. Holy Spirit, live in me so that I don't have to be alone. I don't have to do it on my own. And I just want to pray today for you. I want to pray for you today that you would receive that gift of God's Spirit, because it's the reminder that you're not alone today. You don't have to be alone. Greater is the One in us. Greater is He living in us than he that is in the world. There are more on our side than there are against us today. That's only possible because of Him. So this is, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer today. If you want His Spirit living in you, helping you, giving you strength, giving you courage so you don't have to be afraid, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me right now in your own heart. Father, today I want your power in my life. I want a different perspective. I don't want to live the way the world lives. I don't want to see the things the world sees. I want to see things through your eyes. And with your power in my life, there is nothing that is impossible for you. There's no difficulty at home. There's no challenge with friends. There's no worry about my reputation. There's no fear of the future that's greater than you. So right now, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you fill my life? I need you today. And I know that you hear me when I pray. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and keep your eyes closed for just a minute. We're going to pray and we're going to worship together, but the band can come up and get into place. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to invite you to kind of take a posture of surrender for a minute. And so as we prepare to kind of close the weekend with a song of worship, I'm just going to ask you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you want His help, sometimes you may think, why do we lift our hands when we worship? Sometimes that's a sign of surrender. Like, I give up, God. I need you. And so right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm just going to ask you, if that's your prayer today, God, I need you. I surrender. I need your Spirit. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand to Him today. Say, God, I surrender. This is a physical posture today that we can take to say, God, we surrender to you. We need you today. We need your Spirit today. We surrender to you. God, we do that today, not just with our hands, but with our lives. We surrender to you because you're here, God. You're here, but you're not just in this room, God. You want to live in us and walk with us and go with us. And so now we're going to worship and we're going to sing, but we do that out of hearts that are surrendered to you. And we do that out of freedom that is available, God, because of you. Because greater is the one in us. Greater is the one on our side than those that are against us, God. We love you and we thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship together today.